Now, I have to say, one of the things that's most charming about this book is that in almost the very middle of this book, there's a story within the story, the Flood Girls, the story of Eleanor and her sister Ivy. And so you're turning pages and you're bopping along, and then you come to that illustrated book of their stories, and it's exquisite.
Thank you. And I will give credit to Eric Chase Anderson, the illustrator, who I found he was a mutual friend, and I knew that I wanted an illustrated section in the middle of it, and I gave him photographs from my childhood. I grew up in Aspen in the 70s, and I gave him the captions, and he really went to town with it. I mean, he really tweaked out on the period details. There's also New York in the 70s that he researched at the New York Photo Library and wanted to come up with very original images that you couldn't find on the internet. You know, that was very important for him, not just to Google, like, girls' dresses 1970s. You know, he wanted right. to really go deep and find things that were not referenced on the internet. And he came up with the idea of doing the wallpaper on the background of each page, you know, because he said that's how scrapbooks are, and a lot of the wallpaper he hand-drew and created. And he just did such a stunning job at this. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to create something that really made the physical object of the book even more fun to read, you know, because when mm-hmm. I'm reading nonfiction, I love it when there's pictures in it, you know, and you're reading along and you're trying not to skip ahead to the pictures, and then you feel, oh, okay, I'm just going to skip ahead to the pictures, and you do, and then you get to the pictures, and then you're always flipping back and looking at the people the more you learn about them. And so that's what I was really hoping to do, to create this really beautiful thing in and of itself. But the more you read the book, kind of the meaning of those pictures change, and what they are to the book and how they relate to the book keeps shifting on you. So I was thinking that would be a really fun experience for the reader to be able to keep going back.
Well, it's such a pleasure, because all of a sudden the story just kind of glows to life. You know, they're such luminous illustrations. And I love it that he worked from your photographs. You really are throwing your own life into these books.
Very much so. No, I love it. There's so many details from my own life, and they're just such tiny things, you know, that I sent him. My Tigger, you know, stuffed animal that uh-huh. I literally still have, that I gave to my daughter, who has no real interest in, but I'm not throwing that thing away. And at least I was able to take a picture of it from many angles and send it to Eric, and, you know, little things like that. So I really treasure those photographs.
And you have artwork by your daughter, Poppy, in this book.
I do, by Poppy Meyer, that there was a, right when I was writing the book, again, which kind of speaks to the fact that when I'm writing a book, particularly a first draft that I write very quickly, I will just throw in anything that I'm experiencing in the moment. I'm very loose with it. But while I was writing the book, my first draft, I was looking for a piece of paper, and there was a spiral notebook nearby, and I thought, oh, I'll just grab a piece of paper from there. And there was this beautiful picture, I mean, not beautiful, just a cute little pencil picture that said, Mommy, by Poppy, age 8. And it was a sweet portrait of me, and I thought, oh, how sweet, I'm not going to write on that. And then I turned the page, and on the next page it says, Mad Mommy, by Poppy, age 8. And it was a picture of me just fuming, and it really broke my heart, because I thought, oh my gosh, that's her experience of me, you know, that I want to be Mommy, but she experiences Mad Mommy, that she doesn't get the best of me, you know, that I want, of course, we all want our children to get the best of us, but a lot of times we're harried, we're busy, we can't find a street number, and we're cursing in the car or whatever is going on. And what your kid gets is Mad Mommy, you know?
Right.
And I thought, gosh, I think that's almost what my book is about, you know, is these two illustrations, Mommy and Mad Mommy. And it's a woman who, you know, is disappointed in herself and the way she conducts herself on a micro level. And so I just thought, I got to put that in. And so I had her change. It doesn't say Poppy. I had her write Timby Wallace in her writing, so it matched the rest of it, you know, because in my book, Timby does it. His name is Timby Wallace.
And his backward Y. I love that.
With the backwards Y, which at the time, Poppy did have the backwards Ys, you know. And so I had her do, she had to relearn how to do her backwards Ys, because this was several years ago. We had to take out some samples. And so she, I wrote her hard to do the Timby Wallace properly in her 8-year-old writing, not her 12-year-old writing. So anyway, it was cute. And I paid her $55 after some tough negotiations. I have a contract, so.
It's amazing these kids are tough negotiators.
They are.
Now, these books really are fun. I mean, they are fun to read and funny, and there's so much pleasure in daily life. But underneath, there is this kind of deeply serious subtext about family life and choices and wanting to be present and wanting to be your best self, and also the long marriage and what it means to choose to stay with a partner and adapt with them and make a life. You know, you reach that point in your life where you can sort of imagine it and in your own hands is something you create every day. And I think that Eleanor is at that moment, and she ends up, I think, making the right choices. And so today was different, don't you think?
Indeed. And I think that, you know, she starts out thinking, oh, I'm just going to put on yoga pants and I'm going to buy local and I'm going to try to play a board game with my kid. But what today has brought her that she doesn't expect is really having to reevaluate her marriage, you know. And I did want to write about middle-aged marriage. And I do find that a lot of my relationship with my partner, we're not married, we've been together 25 years, but, you know, we email each other and it's scheduling, you know, it's just scheduling. And as Eleanor at one point says, I feel like my husband and I are in an LLC where we just raise a kid and we happen to live in the same house, you know. And she remembers the time when they were just crazy about each other, you know. And in the beginning of the book, it's something that I kind of sneak in intentionally, but her husband, Joe, is obviously very upset about something. And she walks in, and he has his head down on the table, and he looks really despondent. And he doesn't know that she's walked in. And she goes to do something, and when she turns around, he's gotten up and left. And her attitude in the beginning of the book is, hey, works for me, you know, don't have to talk to him about his problems. And she thinks it's funny and, oh, aren't I saucy that's my attitude, you know. And I want the reader to really feel like, oh, that's hilarious, I've been there, you know. But by the end, the head down on the table ends up being actually a real problem, or, you know, something that is going to rock their marriage. And she's not, early on when they were together, she would have rushed in and gone, oh my gosh, what's wrong, honey? You seem sad. You know, I love you. I care about you. I'm here for you. But that's not what the marriage is after 20 years of marriage. It's like, yeah, okay, good. He didn't know I saw him. I'll just continue on with my life. And that's one of the things she has to face. And I wanted to write about that, you know, because that I feel like is where I am, and it's, or can be, you know, and it's a part of myself I don't like. So I was really interested in writing about middle-aged marriage and how, you know, the cliche is that it takes work, but if not, you'll just kind of backslide into roommates.
Right. And I have to say, Timby is one of the most charming characters I've come across in quite some time. I mean, I love in your books how closely observed the parents are by their children. You know, they do witness our lives every minute.
Thank you. Well, I love Timby also. I feel like Timby is a comedy sidekick, you know.
Yes.
She's the straight man for Eleanor's, you know, wreck of a comedian, you know. And I was trying to write him not as precocious, but just as real, you know. He doesn't have a lot of wisdom. You know, he's not a little Buddha running around, which is what I think a lot of kids in literature can be written as, you know. And I wanted him just to be kind of selfish and kind of always gaming, you know, the situation to see if he can get some, you know, carbs out of it if he can get a donut or something, you know, or get some extra stuff at a store out of, you know, the situation. But he does see her for who she is in a very kind of undramatic way. You know, there's not, he's just very clear-eyed about her. And I think his love for her is very centered, as children's love is for their parents, because they don't know the difference. You know, this is all they know, this type of parent love. You know, so he's not even judging or wanting something different. He's just accepting her for who she is. And at one point, Eleanor realizes that, you know, and that it really breaks her heart, you know, where she's acting very distracted and crazy, and to try to cheer her up, he says, "That's okay, Mom, that's just the way you are." And it's very painful for her to hear that, because she knows that he is trying to make her feel better, but what he's saying kind of goes to a deeper truth that makes her sad.
Right.